Welcome to session number 3 of Back to This Meeting with a Moment of Silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
This is the third in a series of 4 Alcoholics Anonymous Beginners Meetings. It's the fall of 1946, and we are attending AA meetings in which newcomers are taking the 12 steps in 4 one-hour sessions. For those of you who are planning to lead these beginners meetings, we want to assure you that there are no rules on how to conduct them. Our format is based on the written and oral histories of old-timers throughout the United States and Canada, but it is still our interpretation of how these sessions were taught in the mid-1940s. Please feel free to modify or adapt our approach to your specific needs. Time travel, 1946. Welcome to session number 3 of the AA Beginners Meetings. Together we're taking the 12 steps as described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Our objective is to find a God of our understanding who will free us from the deadly affliction of alcoholism. Our names are Wally and
Brenda,
and we are members of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're here to guide you on your journey toward a spiritual solution to your drinking problem. In the last 2 weeks, we have taken steps 1 through 4. Hopefully, during the past week, each newcomer has taken the 5th step with his or her sponsor or sharing partner. Are there any newcomers here tonight without their sponsors or sharing partner? Anybody here that's new? If there is, please stand. Okay. What we want to do is match you up. Who would be willing to work with Roger? Anybody here that would be willing to take on another sponsee? Okay, there's a hand. And the gentleman in the back, who would like to take him? Okay, please be seated. Okay, everybody's matched up. Part of the process is that nobody attends beginners meetings alone. And for the 2 newcomers, what we'd like to have you do is practice the 11th step between this session and session number 4. And we'll be starting the steps again in 2 weeks. And then you'll be able to start back at step 1 and take the rest of the steps with us at that time. But we want you to practice step 11 between this and the 4th session. Let's see who's still on track, on the beam, as some of us like to say. Will those who put together a 4-step inventory and shared it with another person please stand? Who did the work? Okay, let's give them a hand. All right. Wow. Thank you. Please be seated. Congratulations. We commend you for having the willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness to do what is necessary to recover from alcoholism. You are well on your way to that promised spiritual awakening. We want you to know that everything you read and hear tonight and next week is for your benefit. You've done the work. Now you will receive the rewards. And as we said last week, we don't care who did the writing, just as long as you and your sponsor or sharing partner came up with a list of character liabilities and a list of individuals and organizations to whom you need to make amends. You will turn over your shortcomings to the God of your understanding in steps 6 and 7 and make restitution to those whom you've harmed in steps 8 and 9. If you haven't had the opportunity to finish your share inventories, please stay. You may hear something that will motivate you to take the 4th and 5th steps in the near future. But keep in mind, you have to do the work in order to receive the benefits and blessings we will be talking about tonight. We are entering the phase of the program where more and more actions are required. These actions produce results. Many of these results are in the form of promises, which as our lives change, become an integral part of our spiritual being. If our lives didn't get better, why would we want to stay sober? If all we had to look forward to was restlessness, irritability, and discontentment, why do the work? AA offers so much more than just freedom from alcohol. We found a new way of living far more beautiful than anything we ever could have imagined. That's why we take the steps, and that's why we take them again and again. Before we move on to steps 6, 7, 8, and 9, let's review what the Big Book authors have to say about the 5th step. This is the step during which God reveals to us, with the help of another person, the shortcomings that have been blocking us from the sunlight of the Spirit. Step 5.
admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs.
On page 72, starting with the ninth line in the second paragraph, the Big Book authors tell us why we need to admit our liabilities to another person.
The best reason first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves. But they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty. In this sense, we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life history.
Once again, the Big Book authors instruct us to take stock. In other words, to conduct a commercial inventory on our lives. The authors even mention three assets, humility, fearlessness, and honesty, as well as two liabilities, egoism and fear, that we need to address. We share our inventories because we are great at self-deception. Aren't we the ones who used to say we didn't have a drinking problem? Didn't we tell ourselves over and over that we were doing fine as we were sinking deeper and deeper into the abyss of alcoholism? Since we're not good judges of character, especially our own, we confide in someone else. Only another person can see us as we really are. As we explained last week, we can share our checklist with any number of people. Some of those mentioned on page 74 of the Big Book are church leaders, doctors, psychologists, and friends. The person we choose has to be a closed-mouthed, trustworthy, and supportive. He or she must never discuss our inventories with anyone else. On page 74, starting with the seventh line in the second paragraph, the Big Book authors write,
"It is important that he be able to keep a confidence, that he fully understand and approve what we are doing, what we are driving at, and that he will not try to change our plan."
The authors give us specific instructions for taking the fifth step. In the first paragraph on page 75, they tell us that as soon as we decide who we are going to talk to, we take action immediately.
When we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence.
In the second paragraph on page 75, they supply us with additional directions.
We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past.
Then the Big Book authors announce that once we admit our wrongs, our lives will change. We begin to experience a transformation of thought and attitude. And that's a quote. A transformation of thought and attitude. On page 75, starting with the second line in the second paragraph, they describe some of these changes.
Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe.
We are now well on our way toward recovering from alcoholism. The authors state that we are in the process of having a spiritual experience. As a result of this psychic change, our obsession to drink is being removed. In the third paragraph on page 75, they provide us with information on what to do after we have shared our inventories.
Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first five proposals, we ask if we had omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into our foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand?
The Big Book authors instruct us to review the first five steps to make sure we haven't omitted anything. If you have done this, you are ready to proceed to the sixth step. Step six.
We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character.
In this step, the Big Book authors have us answer a simple question. On page 76, starting with the third line in the first paragraph, they ask,
are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing.
So according to the Big Book authors, it is decision time once again. We realize they want you to take your sixth step on the same evening you share your fourth step with your sponsor or sharing partner. In case this person didn't direct you to page 76 of the Big Book, we'll take you there now. If you have already taken the sixth step, we offer you the opportunity to take it again now with the group. During the fifth step, we identified our shortcomings using one of the assets and liabilities checklist we described last week. In the sixth step, we make the preparations necessary to turn these shortcomings over to God. Let's start with a moment of silence so we can ask God to remove the liabilities that we found were blocking us when we shared our inventories. These are the items on the left side of our assets and liabilities checklist that have check marks to the right of them. If we still are holding on to some of these shortcomings, we pray for the willingness to let go of them. Moment of silence. Now, will those who have taken steps 1 through 5 please stand? This is the sixth step question.
And it reads,
are you now ready to let God remove from you all the things that you have admitted are objectionable?
Okay, will each of you answer one at a time? And after you've answered, please be seated.
Yes.
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 And over here?
Yes.
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 And all the way in the cheap seats in the back?
Yes.
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 Okay. Those who answered yes have taken step six. Nothing more is required. Yay! Woo! Okay, now let's move on to step seven.
Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings.
This step is straightforward. It consists of a prayer in which we ask God to remove our liabilities and strengthen our assets so we can be of maximum service to all. This prayer is found in the second paragraph on page 76. It reads,
my Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen.
We would like those of you who are ready to take the seventh step to read the prayer along with us a second time. Are we ready?
My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen.
According to the Big Book authors, we have taken step seven. We're on a roll. Yes. Step 8.
Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all.
The Big Book authors state, made a list. Did we need to make this list? Actually, no. We compiled our list as part of our fourth step. In the third paragraph on page 76, they confirm this.
Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory.
That's why we are asking you to hold on to your fourth step inventory. It contains your eighth step amends list. If you used our assets and liabilities checklist, your amends are the names at the top of the page that have one or more check marks under them. We'd like to congratulate those of you who came up with a list of individuals and organizations to whom you are willing to make amends. According to the Big Book authors, you have taken step 8. Let's move on to the ninth step. Yay! Okay.
Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others.
The amends process is explained in detail on pages 76 through 83. On page 76, starting with the sixth line in the third paragraph, the Big Book authors tell us what to do.
Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol.
We may be hesitant to make amends to those who are still upset with us or suspicious of our motives. In the fourth paragraph on page 76, the authors provide us with guidelines on how to approach these individuals.
Probably there are still some misgivings. As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured. To some people, we need not, and probably should not, emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. We might prejudice them. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order, but this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us.
In the last sentence of this paragraph, the authors explicitly state our purpose for living. They inform us that we are here to serve God and our fellows. Then on page 77, the Big Book authors ask us to let our actions, rather than our words, demonstrate to the people we have hurt by our conduct that we have changed. Starting with the fourth line, they write,
"It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we have gone religious. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin.
Pow.
Why lay ourselves open to be branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message, but our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He is going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries."
One of the most difficult amends to make is to someone we genuinely don't like. But whether we like the person or not, we must proceed. On page 77, starting with the ninth line in the first paragraph, we find,
"Nevertheless, with the person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret."
In the second paragraph on page 77, the Big Book authors even provide us with instructions on what to say.
"Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so, never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result."
The authors make it clear what we are to do about our debts. which is to pay them. We may not like the sacrifice required to make good on our bills, but sacrifice we must. The process forces us to rely on God for the strength and courage to make good on past misdeeds. Under God's direction, we find it much easier to make restitution than we ever thought possible. In the second paragraph on page 78, they disclose,
most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors. Telling them what we are trying to do, we make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal we can, we let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them.
Keep in mind that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is facing the fear and walking through it. That includes even the thunderstorm that's going on outside. At least we're inside, safe and protected. In the first paragraph on page 86, on 79, the Big Book authors instruct us to let God be our guide. This reliance upon God is essential if we are to outgrow the fears that have separated us from the one who has all power.
Although these reparations take innumerable forms, there are some general principles which we find guiding. Reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any lengths to find a spiritual experience, we ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything.
The authors suggest we ask others for help before we make some of our more difficult amends. We need direction, preferably from someone who understands the inventory and restitution process. In the first paragraph on page 80, they caution us not to create further harm as we clean up our side of the street.
Before taking drastic action which might implicate other people, we secure their consent. If we have obtained permission, have consulted with others, ask God to help, and the drastic step is indicated, we must not shrink.
In the first paragraph on page 82, we are again advised to seek God's aid as we make good on our past misdeeds.
Perhaps there are some cases where the utmost frankness is demanded. No outsider can appraise such an intimate situation. It may be that both will decide that the way of good sense and loving kindness is to let bygones be bygones. Each might pray about it, having the other one's happiness uppermost in mind.
This is an example of how we must be tactful and considerate of others as we make our amends. No one said it would be easy, it just has to be done. On page 82, starting with the second line in the second paragraph, the Big Book authors emphatically state that stopping drinking is only the beginning. We must take additional actions if we are to recover from alcoholism.
Sometimes we hear an alcoholic say that the only thing he needs to do is to keep sober. Certainly he must keep sober, for there will be no home if he doesn't. But he is yet a long way from making good to the wife or parents whom for years he has so shockingly treated. The alcoholic is like a tornado roaring his way through the lives of others. Hearts are broken, sweet relationships are dead, affections have been uprooted. Selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. We feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough.
Not drinking is not enough. The authors make that quite clear. Starting with the first paragraph on page 83, they write,
yes, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead. A remorseful mumbling that we are sorry won't fill the bill at all. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it, being very careful not to criticize them. Their defects may be glaring, but the chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. So we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, and love. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it.
Here we're told that in order to recover from alcoholism, we have to live the AA program. So we don't just take the steps, we live the steps on a daily basis. In the third paragraph on page 83, the Big Book authors give us directions on what to do if we can't make amends to someone face to face.
There may be some wrongs we can never fully right. We don't worry about them if we can honestly say to ourselves that we would right them if we could. Some people cannot be seen. We send them an honest letter.
The authors conclude the ninth step with another list of benefits. On page 83, starting with the fourth paragraph, they tell us precisely what is going to happen once we commence to clear away the wreckage of our past. They describe these benefits as promises. The Big Book is filled with promises. These are just a few of them.
If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurities will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves.
What a message of hope. It is almost beyond comprehension that all these wonderful events will come to pass if we just make amends to those whom we've harmed. But they will happen, and that is a guarantee. Dr. Bob, our Akron, Ohio co-founder, found that he could not stay sober until he made his amends. He accomplished this in one day. On page 156, starting with the first paragraph, we read about Dr. Bob's ninth step.
One morning, he took the bull by the horns and set about to tell those he feared what his trouble had been. He found himself surprisingly well received and learned that many knew of his drinking. Stepping into his car, he made the rounds of people he had hurt. He trembled as he went about, for this might mean ruin, particularly to a person in his line of business. At midnight, he came home exhausted, but very happy. He has not had a drink since.
This concludes our presentation of Step 9. For the newcomer, part of your assignment for the next week is to start making amends to those on your list. If you're not sure how to proceed with a specific amends, ask your sponsor or sharing partner for help. Next week, we will take steps 10, 11, and 12. But before we end this session, we need to lay the groundwork for the 11th step. This is the step that puts us in direct contact with a spiritual solution to our drinking problem. And step 11 reads,
sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out.
Many AAs refer to prayer and meditation as two-way prayer. Prayer is talking to God and meditation is listening to God. We listen in order to receive messages directly from the one who has all power. The Big Book authors have been preparing us for this conscious contact with the God of our understanding by interspersing references about two-way prayer throughout the book. So before we look ahead to the 11th step, we're going to look back at some of the previous Big Book passages that refer to guidance. Let's start by defining guidance. The dictionary tells us that to guide means to lead, direct, influence, or regulate, and two synonyms are to disclose and to show. When we look in the Big Book for passages that refer to guidance, we find there are at least 18 of them. We just read one of them a few minutes ago. Let's go back to page 83 and re-examine the last sentence in the first paragraph.
So we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, and love.
In this passage, the Big Book authors instruct us to conduct a daily quiet time. It is during this period of meditation that God will show us. In other words, God will guide us to a new way of living based on the assets of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. There are many more references to guidance, starting all the way back at the first step. We're only going to mention a few of them. On page 13 in Bill's story, our New York City co-founder writes about prayer and meditation. Starting with the third line in the fourth paragraph, Bill explains,
"I was to sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as He would have me."
When we ask God for direction and strength, we are calling upon the Spirit of the universe for the guidance and power to overcome our difficulties. In other words, when God guides, God provides. It is essential that we sit quietly, especially during periods of stress or uncertainty, so we can clearly hear what God has to say. Meditation is based on the belief that God speaks to those who are willing to listen. We write down the thoughts, images, sounds, and feelings we receive so we can separate God's guidance from self-centeredness. Then we take the appropriate actions. How do we separate God's guidance from self-centeredness? We use the test we described last week, the A test for self-will. The Big Book authors show us how to use this test 3 times. In the fourth step, we apply the test in connection with our moral inventories to determine if we need to make amends. We will also use this test in our 10th and 11th steps. Let's look again at how they use the AA test for self-will in the fourth step. The test for self-will: selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, and frightened. The test for God's will: unselfishness, honesty, purity, and love. We can use this same test to examine what we put on paper during our quiet times. If what we have written is honest, pure, unselfish, and loving, it has to pass all 4 of these tests. We can be assured that these messages are God-directed. If what we have written is dishonest, resentful, selfish, or fearful, it only has to fail 1 of the tests for self-will. These messages are self-directed. On page 57, starting with the third line in the second paragraph, the Big Book authors state that God is constantly revealed to us.
He has come to all who have honestly sought Him. When we drew near to Him, He disclosed Himself to us.
When we seek God's guidance, we find, and this is a quote, a new power, peace, happiness, and sense of direction beyond our wildest dreams. As we will learn next week, our Creator speaks directly to us through, and this is another quote, inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. On page 69, starting with the 6th line in the 3rd paragraph, we find yet another of the many references to two-way prayer.
In meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. The right answer will come if we want it.
When we ask specific questions, we receive specific answers. That's why it is so important to learn how to test the messages we receive. These are just a few examples from the Big Book on prayer and meditation. Hopefully, they are sufficient to get us started. We now know what we need to do in order to live in the realm of the Spirit. We're going to provide you with some additional material on how to establish a conscious contact with the God of your understanding. In the late 1930s, a friend of Dr. Bob's wrote a short essay titled, How to Listen to God. It is one of the clearest set of instructions we have found on how to practice the second half of the 11th step. We will briefly take you through this 4-page pamphlet. We suggest you conduct your daily meditation based on these guidelines. Next week, let us know what happened. In the opening paragraph, the author makes this life-changing statement.
These are a few simple suggestions for people who are willing to make an experiment. You can discover for yourself the most important and practical thing any human being can ever learn, how to be in touch with God.
He then challenges us to incorporate a simple program of action into our lives, a program that has worked for countless others.
All that is needed is the willingness to try it honestly Every person who has done this consistently and sincerely has found that it really works.
We want you to know that we take the 11th step on a regular basis. Talking and listening to God has changed our lives. It will change your life too if you're willing to practice prayer and meditation daily. At the bottom of the first page, the author presents us with the guidelines for two-way prayer.
Anyone can be in touch with God anywhere and at any time if the conditions are obeyed. These are the conditions: to be quiet and still, to listen, to be honest about every thought that comes, to test the thoughts to be sure they come from God, and lastly, the most difficult, to obey.
To obey. Yes. Within the remaining pages of the pamphlet, the author provides detailed directions on how to meditate. In the middle of the second page, he states,
Right. Here is the important key to the whole process. Write down everything that comes into your mind. Everything. Writing is simply a means of recording so that you can remember later.
On the third page, he explains how to distinguish between God-directed and self-directed messages.
Test. Take a good look at what you have written. Not every thought we have comes from God, so we need to test our thoughts. Here is where the written record helps us to be able to look at them. A. Are these thoughts completely honest, pure, unselfish, and loving? B. Are these thoughts in line with our duties to our family, to our country? And lastly, are these thoughts in line with our understanding of the teachings found in our spiritual literature?
The author of the pamphlet asks us to test our guidance using the four standards of honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love. This test will help us determine if what we have written is God-directed or self-centered. Next, the author instructs us to check what we have put on paper. Here is where your sponsor or sharing partner can be very helpful.
Check. When in doubt and when it is important, what does another person who is living two-way prayer think about this thought or action? More light comes in through two windows than one. Someone else who also wants God's plan for our lives may help us see more clearly. Talk over together what you have written. Many people do this. They tell each other what guidance has come. This is the secret of unity. There are always three sides to every question: your side, my side, and the right side. Guidance shows us which is the right side, not who is right, but what is right.
Then the author explains what to many of us is the most difficult part of all.
Obey. Carry out the thoughts that have come. You will only be sure of guidance as you go through with it. A rudder will not guide a boat until the boat is moving. As you obey, very often the results will convince you that you are on the right track.
Remember, our Creator has given us free will. We're free not to listen to the God-directed messages we receive. But we must be prepared to accept the consequences if we choose not to follow God's plan for our lives. The author also tells us what to do if we don't receive any definite thoughts or feelings during our meditation. This is a sign we haven't completely cleaned up the wreckage of the past. We have additional work to do.
Blocks. If I am not receiving thoughts when I listen, the fault is not God's.
Oh, does that hurt? The fault is not God's.
No. Usually it is because there is something I will not do. Maybe it's something wrong in my life that I will not face and make right. Maybe it's a habit or indulgence I will not give up. Maybe a person I will not forgive. A wrong relationship in my life I will not give up. A restitution I will not make. Or maybe it's something God has already told me to do that I will not obey.
Look this list over. These items are described in the Big Book as part of the inventory and restitution process. If you've been thorough and honest in steps 4 through 9, you will have removed the blocks that have prevented you from establishing and maintaining a two-way relationship with the God of your understanding. So you have two assignments for this week. Start making amends to those who you've harmed And each morning, start practicing prayer and meditation. Write down your guidance and bring it with you to the next meeting. As for the results, they are summarized at the bottom of the last page of the How to Listen to God pamphlet.
There is a way of life for everyone, everywhere. Anyone can be in touch with the living God, anywhere, anytime, if we fulfill His conditions. When man listens, God speaks. When man obeys, God acts. This is the law of prayer.
We wish you the very best as you make your amends and establish a conscious contact with the one who has all power. You will convert the barriers which have separated you from others to the bridges of open and honest reconciliation. In addition, by listening to God, you'll be given the strength, inspiration, and direction to change lives, starting with your own. Miracles are about to occur, and we look forward to hearing about them next week. Are there any questions?